heart and soul of a nation, beckons the call. The voice of our forefathers heard in the distance.
A house divided against itself cannot stand.
To reclaim our honor.
Our soul. The challenges of a generation call out. Future generations hang in the balance. We choose liberty. This is the voice of a nation. And now, Malcolm.
So, you know, one of the most interesting things about a news story like the hydroxychloroquine and the virus, you know, and of course the vaccines and all of this you hear, you know, is that you get so much information coming at you that this is my biggest concern, is that Americans get lost with where that truth is. And I think we're all pretty much onto the program at this point, that everybody seems to have an agenda. And we really don't know who to trust and which media outlets can be trusted in these kinds of conversations. This story here on hydroxychloroquine is just so over the top. I've been seeing reports over the past week since the president admitted on camera, said, yeah, I'm taking that drug. Been taking it for a couple of weeks now. Well, then you see Pelosi come out and call the president morbidly obese, I believe it was. Yeah. I mean, wow. It really gets interesting when they start throwing those darts at each other, doesn't it? You know, I've been seeing some of the headlines and stories in the past week that numbers and stats that appear to be very convincing, almost to every one of us, including myself, when I'm looking at some of these titles and things, because then they back it up with all of these, you know, people that are dying and the cardiac arrest, and you almost think they found some new information or something, or, so you know, something happened or developed the way they write the stories and the way they put it out there. The bigger problem with all this, people, is that a lot of people are believing this stuff. I mean, a great many of people are believing it because, you know, there's this whole trusted theory in America. If it's in print or if the news media is talking about it, it must be true. And of course, we have fallen so far away from those days. It isn't even close to being hilarious anymore. It's pretty sick, actually, what's taking place with the Fourth Estate in this nation. Of course, we know that at this point, that's become an old story at this moment of time. So no sense in hopping on that, people, and wasting our valuable time talking about how corrupt the media is, because it would be a complete waste of our time. So the president comes out and he says, yeah, he's been taking the drug there. And then everything kind of blew up. And so this the story gets very interesting. You've been hearing also about the whistleblower, Rick Bright. Of course, that word whistleblower, we've become so attuned to what that is anymore as well. What the hell is a whistleblower anymore, right? I mean, they seem to be so many of those in this administration. You almost want to start to talk about the non-whistleblowers. It seems to be they're all whistleblowers today. I mean, what does that really mean anymore? You know what really gets me about these stories again is that the administration is littered with multiple levels of these bureaucrats. I mean, this has been the problem of this administration before he took office, is he didn't clean the deck. He didn't clear the house. He didn't throw them out on their asses, basically. And now you have an administration full of these, you know, I'm putting my hands up in quotes here, whistleblowers. The whistleblower is just a bureaucrat from an opposing party viewpoint who doesn't like what the hell you're doing. I mean, what else is a whistleblower? And that's what it's become today. It's become just so politicized. It's not like the old days of what a real whistleblower was. You know, trying to get to the point of truth. Somebody was doing something wrong, and I'm going to be the hero or the patriot and report it. That's not at all what it is anymore. It's just somebody who, you know, has a different viewpoint, doesn't like the policy, does not. And so when we have this conversation about the drug, let's get to the point. And the point is, you know, this whole thing went sideways when President Trump suggested that it might be, could be, possibly, potentially, could be an answer somewhere. I mean, you're to think that he told you some family secret recipe or some deep, dark secret of some sort, because they all went haywire at that point. I mean, don't all roads lead to that point of discussion with the president? If he says it's blue, well, no, Mr. President, it's orange. He says it's Tuesday. Well, no, Mr. President, it's Thursday. Mr. President, the virus came from China? No, it just came from midair. We don't know where this thing came from. I mean, there is nothing he is going to say that you have never seen the media stand up and say, well, you are correct, Mr. President. Thank you for that. It's just not going to happen, people. Just not going to happen. So I think where this went wrong is when the president came out early on and suggested that this could be an answer with those daily press conferences he was doing at that moment here. They have since expired, thank God. They were becoming like the days of our lives in the afternoon. So must-see soap opera watching. Who the hell was going to punch who in the gut next, right? It's to see who can outdo each other in the media circles. I mean, you can only put up with so much of that crap, you know, before you want to just go in the next room and scream. Yeah, so this whistleblower, again, this bureaucrat, let's call him a partisan bureaucrat, didn't like the policies that Trump put out there. Can you just take a guess who he would have voted for in the last election? Exactly. Wasn't Donald Trump, I can assure you. I mean, is this lost on anybody at this point? So he had an interview on 60 Minutes with Nora O'Donnell as well, and where he started spilling out all kinds of information about why this was, well, what he referred to, and I'll get into that with a quote in a moment here. He called it a panacea, basically, that this was some sort of a panacea from the administration. It was going to save the world of some sort. Of course, that's not at all what it said. I mean, that's not all. So the president, President Trump came out, he defended the hydroxychloroquine as a treatment or even prevention for this coronavirus, or as we affectionately call it here, the China virus, right? He said that the drug had been proven to be unbelievably effective for malaria and lupus. And I've heard many things it's been effective for. This drug is not a new invention, people. It's been around for a lot of years. And he's been very successful. So there's a track record with this thing. You know, that's the thing about this. So, if everybody was dying from cardiac arrest or, you know, croaking in some fashion, we would have known about that by now. We would have been a news item already. So why now is it a news item? Well, because that whistleblower. Amazing. And we'll get into that. Dr. Vliet will join me in a moment, and we'll get into the politics of what he did exactly. But President Trump says, and I quote here, he says, what has been determined is it doesn't harm you. Well, that's very accurate. Again, the president speaks English, so the American people understand this president because he doesn't speak a foreign language or a political language. He happens to use the English language. It's an amazing thing for a politician, that is. And then he goes on to say, you know, in quotes again, very powerful drug, I guess, but it doesn't harm you. So I thought as a frontline defense, I thought it possibly would be good. I have had no impact from it. I feel the same. I haven't changed, I don't think, too much. And of course, the media could have a field day with that, clearly, right? So the FDA, the Food and Drug Administration, warned in late April that the drug should not be taken to treat coronavirus outside a hospital setting or clinical trial. They noted the risk for heart rhythm problems. And this is the FDA, mind you, who had authorized this drug. This has been an authorized drug for a very long time. We'll find out the year in a moment from Dr. Vliet, but the FDA has authorized emergency use when clinical trials are unavailable. And this is where things got very, very political with a lot of folks. A lot of governors have started to get political and people didn't have access to the drug. And therefore, this other conversation of the nursing homes played into this thing as well. I mean, just think of those people that might have been saved if Governor Cuomo and others hadn't held that drug back from them. I mean, think about the people. You would think there's going to be a lot of lawsuits here as well. So it just gets messy at this point when things take this turn. And the problem is, people, we're not working together in this nation. We're not working for the greater good at all. And that this is the common theme every day I talk to you. And it's going to always be the common theme, it seems. It's one thing to be a divided nation, and I'm okay with that. We're supposed to be divided, as I tell you. I'm cool with that. But it's another thing when we start to undermine each other and we work against each other for the greater good. Now you're talking about that classic fight of good versus evil, and things can get off the track there real quick here. I think the story today about hydroxychloroquine is exactly what I'm speaking about here. It's become very messy. The information is sporadic. It's hard to get the right information in. And I would venture to say to you that probably three quarters of the country are not paying attention, more than that, obviously, but at least on this particular story, at least three quarters are not paying attention and are only getting the drip, drip sensational headlines. And they are totally misinformed. And the result of that is people they love and their families and others will pay an ultimate price because of this lack of information. So what I like about my guest today is Dr. Elizabeth Lee Vliet. She is on the front lines trying to put the good word out there and trying to warn America of what she knows. Now, she is a physician, unlike the bureaucrat that we just talked about, Bright, and many others, by the way, who suggest they have an answer of some sort. They're not even physicians. They can't speak about this at all. And then it gets on and on. You see a lot of publicity this past week, too, about Cavuto. We'll touch on that as well. And he went off the deep end as well on this, about the cardiac business there. So it just gets a little interesting here. Let me bring on Dr. Elizabeth Lee Vliet now, and we will talk a bit about it. Let me tell you first that Dr. Vliet is an independent physician specializing in preventive and climacteric medicine. She has patient services in Tucson, Arizona, and Dallas, Texas. Also does this telemedicine. Every time that comes up, Dr. Vliet, I'm always fascinated, but I never get a chance to talk to you about it. Do you do a fair amount of telemedicine? Has that become a big thing?
Well, Malcolm, the president waived the state-by-state regulations on telemedicine during the national emergency so that physicians across the country weren't hindered by this patchwork quilt of state regulations that prevented telemedicine. And he waived the restrictions on Medicare paying for telemedicine appointments so that it made it the technology much more available to patients during the national emergency. We've always had restrictions state by state. In fact, medicine is one of the only sectors of the economy that has been so far behind the eight ball on the technology. We weren't allowed to do very much in telemedicine until more recently.
Temporary changes or are they permanent changes, do you
think? Well, no one knows at this point. It hasn't been announced. We are hopeful that many of these changes will become permanent because they make so much sense, particularly for elderly and sick people, that where you can do monitoring of certain types of conditions with face-to-face on many of the technologies that allow video conferencing over the internet, and it reduces some of the burden on getting patients to office appointments. So it absolutely could be very beneficial.
Well, that's exciting. I didn't realize everything you just said, but listen, I get the sense that telemedicine is going to be the future of medicine. Is that a correct statement?
Well, if we can get past the patchwork quilt of state-by-state regulations that interfere with it, the same that we're having with the interference with hydroxychloroquine.
Go figure.
Medicine is hindered by state governors, state medical boards, and pharmacy boards that all have their own set of rules and regulations. I've got licenses in four states, and every state has different regulations that we have to keep up with. Medicine could make much better use of technology than we've been allowed to do until this national emergency, and we're doing it better. Let's hope that we can push to continue a lot of that.
That's right. That's exciting. And listen, I am always optimistic about that silver lining and these kinds of things. They put us on a new path, a new thought process, and it develops new opportunities. And maybe this is one of those moments, I hope. I think we're seeing that in other areas. You know, the one thing about this virus and this pandemic, it has been the great equalizer, and you're seeing a change in the way people think, the way they do business. A lot of this may stay around on a more permanent basis. You're seeing a lot of large businesses that are downsizing. They're going out of business in some cases. So let's be clear. This has been a game changer here. This pandemic business here, virus, that has hit our nation will never be lost. I mean, it is a historical game changer in our nation's history. And we now the way I see it, people, is we now have to get on another path. We have to figure it out, like the telemedicine thing Dr. Vliet's talking about. We have to, you know, assume and get on this next path and make it better. Figure it out, I guess, more or less. Listen, before I get to this Rick Bright fellow, and let's push that to the side a moment. I don't want to make him the center of our initial early conversation, because I want to educate listeners on a few things here, Dr. Vliet, and real simple. This whole drip, drip, drip headline news I'm seeing over the past couple of weeks here, since the president has now come out and said, yeah, I've been taking it for a week and a half, 2 weeks, whatever. And of course, the media pretended for a moment, Dr. Blake, like they cared, you know, oh my God, the president, he might be a risk. And of course, the speaker comes out, he's morbidly obese and cardiac arrest, cardiac problems, Dr. Vliet, that sort of thing that we're seeing. I'm seeing all these headlines now warning people. You see Cavuto come out and he starts saying, you know, this is bad. This is wrong. We shouldn't be doing this because of the cardiac deaths. How bad is this information? Let's educate people on that point so people understand what they're hearing from people like Cavuto and so many others in the headlines that it's bad information.
Well, it's flagrantly false exaggeration of risk, and it is dangerous. And Malcolm, I don't chuckle about any of this because people are dying unnecessarily in the United States, and it is absolutely a tragic, tragic situation. Yeah. Because we have talking head pundits who probably didn't pass ninth grade biology that are getting up and pontificating and reading scripted talking points from the left, demonizing a drug that has been used safely around the world in all ages, all types of people, all ethnic groups, pregnant women, nursing mothers, elderly, children, in hundreds of millions of doses since 1955 for hydroxychloroquine and 1934 for chloroquine. It has saved lives around the world, particularly in third world countries where they are devastatingly poor and don't have access to the hospitals and technology that we do. And it is unconscionable that someone like Neil Cavuto would have said something so dangerously wrong on national television. I absolutely was livid when I heard that. The FDA actually has only 62 cardiac deaths in the 65 years of collecting data on the drug out of 50 million prescriptions with hydroxychloroquine. 50 million prescriptions, 62 deaths attributed to a cardiac arrhythmia. That's a chance of 1.2 in 1 million. And if you are driving in a 1,000 mile road trip, you have a 1 in 366 chance of being in a serious or fatal car accident.
Wow.
But no one is saying stop driving your car on a vacation trip of 1,000 miles. This is outrageous. We have people that have died in nursing homes because governors meddled in their medical decision-making with their doctors. They are politicians. They are not medically trained. They overrode the FDA's own regulations since World War II that have allowed doctors to use any FDA-approved medicine can be legally written for a new use by a doctor treating a patient for whom he thinks that he or she thinks that medicine can work. I'll give you another example. They're finding out that hydroxychloroquine can be used to help prevent alopecia areata, which is severe hair loss, an autoimmune disorder that causes severe hair loss and premature balding in men and women.
Wow.
It wasn't approved for alopecia, but they're using it for that. I just talked to a patient on the air last night in Boston whose dermatologist prescribed it for her.
Wow.
None of us have ever encountered the FDA unilaterally, one bureaucrat restricting one medicine and preventing us from using it off-label. And then the governors, we only have four governors in the entire United States that wisely did not restrict our ability to make the decision for each patient about hydroxychloroquine.
And so you're saying these four did not politicize it, you're saying these four did not. Who are the four? Can you tell me who the four are?
North Dakota and Florida are the two that I remember well.
There are
two more. Florida's Governor Ron DeSantis, one of the benefits of his not politicizing hydroxychloroquine is that doctors practicing in Florida could decide to prescribe it in early disease for their patients and their nursing home patients. And Florida has had a much better and lower death rate and number of cases than, say, New York. And
if you compare Florida those two states, Dr. Lee, you compare Florida and New York, I mean, it's the tale of two stories entirely. There's no comparison.
Exactly.
Yeah, the success of...
Andrew Cuomo, on the other hand, issued the most restrictive order against hydroxychloroquine in the country. He was one of the first to do it. Mm-hmm. He restricted it not only to only people in hospitals, but they had to also be on a clinical trial in the hospital, which makes it even harder because in an emergency, when the staff is so overloaded and doctors and nurses are just trying to save lives, they don't have time to ramp up a clinical trial and get it approved and all of that. So he made it the most restrictive. And then the nursing home patients in New York State got a double whammy because he had restricted the one medicine that was cheap and available now that doctors could have used. And some of his own doctors in New York were doing that until he issued his emergency order stopping it. Mm-hmm. And then he issued the mandate March 25th saying that nursing homes had to take the COVID-19 patients back instead of sending them to the fully prepared U.S. Naval Comfort ship sitting in New York Harbor. He put them back in unprepared nursing home settings, and it spread like wildfire.
Exactly.
And New York had over 5,500 nursing home deaths last week.
Yeah. I mean, the numbers have been staggering. It's amazing they have not called him out to this point of what has happened in the nursing homes in New York. It's almost just straight out murder what they've done here. It's unbelievable the numbers of death in the nursing homes in New York. I mean, you'll have no problem getting a bed in the future with a nursing home because there'll be plenty available, sadly.
Well,
because he's killed off the population.
That's a horrible way to look at it, quite frankly.
Sure it is.
Kill people to clear beds is what they did in Germany. But if I were an attorney, which I am not, I would be looking into negligent homicide.
Exactly.
When you knowingly restrict.
Well, I mentioned that up front about lawsuits. Do you envision a lot of lawsuits coming from all of this?
Well, I know for a fact that our medical organization, the Association of American Physicians and Surgeons, is working on lawsuits in at least two states against the governors for these restrictions and against the FDA for their restriction violating their own regulations for doctors to be able to prescribe off-label. Those are in the work. I would submit to your listeners that are attorneys that if anyone wants to contact me about other ideas and other needs and other states where I'm aware that doctors and patients have been harmed and could be plaintiffs, I would like to encourage the civil liberties lawyers to get involved and stop this because our most fundamental civil liberty is our ability to preserve God's gift of life. And quite frankly, when the governors are intervening and preventing doctors from saving lives, the governors are intervening in the most fundamental civil liberty of all. And we need some good attorneys to step up on this. Stop the abuse of power that is killing people unnecessarily.
Yeah.
The virus is one thing, and there are going to be people that die every year of the flu, that die every year of heart disease, no matter how hard we work, that are dying of COVID-19, but it's unconscionable that we have put up obstacles and prevented the use of medicines that are saving lives in other countries. In this latest editorial that's posted on your website, I have a data chart that was just updated. It's updated every day on the World O-meter that has all of the data by country. And this chart in my editorial for your site, Malcolm, was updated Monday night, May 18th at 11 p.m. And as of that date, India, with four times the population of the United States, much more devastating poverty, higher density in cities, mm-hmm. less hospital infrastructure, less hospital beds and ICU beds, India, using hydroxychloroquine prophylactically for all of their doctors and nurses, family members of exposed individuals, contacts of exposed individuals, they're using it prophylactically and then once a week dose. And then if someone develops symptoms, they're put on a treatment dose. India had only 101,000 cases, a little over 101,000 cases in a population four times the size of the United States. That same day, the U.S. had 1,550,294 cases. Mm-hmm. Now, even more stunning is the deaths per million, which is an apples to apples comparison. In India, per million population, two people died from COVID-19. In the United States, where we are only allowed to use hydroxychloroquine under these restrictive regulations, only allowed to use it late stage disease in the hospital when people are critically ill, our deaths per million, 278 people died per million population in the United States.
Yeah, the numbers are startling here, what Dr. Vliet is speaking about right now. They are absolutely startling. Let me give you the name again of this, the title of this article, please. It is "The FDA Bureaucrat Brags on Blocking Physicians Prescribing HCQ in Early COVID-19. We'll talk more about that bureaucrat as well just ahead here with you. A lot of questions I'm thinking about at this point, and I want to say this with what Dr. Vliet was just speaking about with that chart here. People, the numbers are startling, absolutely startling. And if I look at this, listen, anybody can look at this chart and graph that Dr. Vliet was just talking about and say this: we have not done a good job. I mean, we have not, according to this, if you look, I mean, she's got India, Costa Rica, Australia, South Korea, Argentina, Turkey, Israel, Brazil. We have not done a good job. If you look at the deaths per million, I mean, we're in another stratosphere. Truly, people, you go look at that chart, please, on the article. It is striking. It will stop you in your tracks. That is not an overstatement, okay? Not an overstatement. And the deaths we've had, the total sum of deaths compared to the cases, we've not done a good job, sadly, looking at this. Now, this is in English. I mean, anybody can understand this just by looking at it and understanding what makes the difference. I mean, in all of these nations, as Dr. Vliet points out, are using that recipe she talks about with the hydroxychloroquine and the zinc. And so this tells you plenty here, but then it gets back to, then you have to ask, like, where my mind goes, why? I mean, it's a simple question, three letters, why? Why is this? Why does this happen? Why is this happening in our nation? I mean, why are we undermining each other? That's where I look at this right now and say, why? It is not a laughing matter, as Dr. Vliet said a moment ago. You know, it is not a laughing matter. It's certainly not a laughing matter if it's your life or if it's your spouse or daughter, son, or somebody you know. It's a hell no, it's not a laughing matter. A serious business. But you have to ask the why. And I've been doing that myself. And I mean, my only answer to the why is I've already told you that, and I'm going to ask Dr. Vliet in a moment if she has a different theory. Maybe she does. I don't know if I've asked her that directly, but I'm going to in a moment here. And my answer to this is because the president talked about it in that early press conference. And again, as I said to you already, no matter what the president does, it's going to be the direct opposite that they're going to pump up and they're going to go after him. It is pretty sick here, people. Oh, again, we've gone, you know, as I say, it's one thing that we're a divided nation. That's a beautiful thing. That's America there. Diversity of opinion and diversity of thought are where we're supposed to be. Absolutely. Nothing wrong with that. And for those out there who think there is, you're mistaken. You don't understand the country's values if you don't understand what I'm talking about here. But when you undermine each other, when you have another mission in here, whatever it is, and people die because of it, well, as Dr. Vliet just said, this is our God-given right. It's our first right and privilege constitutionally is the right to live, the right to breathe. I mean, where does that come from, people? Well, that should come from God Almighty. But it's these people making these crazy decisions that are undermining all of this. I'll tell you. You know, it takes me everything I can do to keep the conversation calm, because you want to get on the top of the mountain here and you want to use the biggest megaphone you can and you want to yell to the masses. Which brings me to the question with you all. We've got to get to those masses. We've got to get to the people, because you can't rely on Nora Donnell, old Donnell, from dear old 60 Minutes. These programs have fallen far off the wagon, people, of any truth. You just can't rely on any of them across the board. And that's the sad state of affairs on the fourth, media estate here in this nation here. It has become so unraveled. And to what end? We'll take a quick pause here. We'll be back with Dr. Elizabeth Lee Vliet just after this pause.
Our global experts are brilliant writers and engaging hosts on a mission of a lifetime. You'll find the latest news and inspiration on the front page of AmericaOutloud.com.
Think back to the last time you felt healthy and energized. The best times of our lives occur when we're at the peak of our health, sleeping better, full of energy and focus. We know that fades with age, and you might be feeling the effects of aging as low energy and poor sleep. But it doesn't have to be that way. There haven't been any nutrition systems designed to rejuvenate our bodies as we get older, until now. Healthy Cell Pro is the only multi-nutrient system that impacts the building block of your body, the cell. Created by anti-aging expert and Nobel Prize nominee, Dr. Vincent Giampapa, award-winning Healthy Cell Pro cuts through the complexity of nutrition supplements by simply giving you the purest ingredients, filling dietary gaps to nourish your cells and enhance your quality of life for optimal performance. Visit HealthyCell.com and use code OUTLOUD for an exclusive discount, or call 844-869-9958.
AmericaOutloud.com is the voice of liberty and justice for all. As we celebrate our four-year anniversary, thank you for making it all possible. Well, shouldn't news deliver truth and inspire us to reach higher? With blogs, podcasts, video, and 24/7 talk radio on our free apps on Apple, Android, or Alexa. We are the vision of the voices, America Out Loud Talk Radio.
Listen to Malcolm, the voice of a nation, on iHeartRadio or our free apps on Apple, Android, or Alexa.
You know, everything is always political. I mean, we say, well, I don't get involved in politics. Again, everybody has to be involved in these conversations. It's always political, people. And here we are again here talking about what's happened here. So I asked the question just before the pause there about the why. Just simple question, Dr. Vliet, why? I mean, I haven't seen anybody really give me the why, but I'm assuming the why has got to be because President Trump has said a couple of different times that this could be possibly, he didn't say totally assertively, he didn't really know, but is that it? Or is there some other reason that people like this Rick Bright and these bureaucrats and the news media have all hopped on the wagon to say this is a bad drug, it's going to kill you? You know, cardiac arrest and so on and so forth, you know? What do you think?
Well, I think there are many factors, Malcolm. Number one, I think when President Trump correctly, based on the world studies I was also seeing in February, that this older safe medicine offered hope, because our own NIH and CDC had done studies in cell cultures in 2005 and showed clearly that chloroquine and hydroxychloroquine were potent antiviral medicines that worked against the SARS coronavirus 1 and the SARS coronavirus 2, which is COVID-19, shares almost 80% of the DNA, of the sequence of the virus, the RNA. And so it was logical to assume that it might have effectiveness with this new version of the coronavirus as well. We knew 15 years ago it was very potent. It's just that the SARS-CoV-1 virus kind of petered out and didn't become a problem, and so they didn't take it forward to FDA approval 15 years ago. But there's that aspect. So we've known that this medicine might work, but as soon as President Trump said it offered hope, now he never said the word that Rick Bright and media and others have inserted into the dialogue by saying, oh, he called it a panacea. That is flagrant. That is a flagrant lie. He never used that term, nor would any responsible physician do so. That is an exaggeration designed to discredit the individual as the physician and as the president, and designed to discredit and damage the drug. Let's face it, the goal of the left and the Democrats has been to take back power at all cost, no matter the cost, no matter the deaths, no matter the economic damage. COVID-19 is essentially the insurance policy that was talked about in the Strzok Page. It wasn't just Admiral Flynn. Once they saw the damage that COVID-19 was doing, this is their new insurance policy to maintain control, maintain the lockdown, prevent access to the one drug that's cheap and available and already approved that could be used, keep the damage as much as possible, and win the election. I mean, it's pretty obvious that it's dividing into red state, blue state. The red states are opening up. We're getting back to individual liberty, trying to get their economies back going, doing all the positive, constructive things. What are the Democrat governors, the far left liberal governors doing? Becoming more locked down, more draconian, more restrictive, sending the police to arrest people going to the gym, which is a healthy activity, an exercise boosts your immune system, doesn't make you at more risk. So we've got the micromanaging, ultra-control totalitarianism that I lived through on trips and educational trips to the Soviet Union, the Iron Curtain countries, and Red China in the 1970s. This is exactly what they did in all of the totalitarian countries.
Can you believe that we are having this conversation? Think just a moment. Pinch yourself just a moment here, Dr. Vliet. Can you believe we're having this real conversation about what we're saying on air in this year? I mean, can you rationalize this?
Well, no, it's not rational. It's illogical. It's ideological. It's political control. It's totalitarianism. No, it is absolutely not rational, and it's contrary to all of the founding principles of our country. But what shocks me is that the American public has been far more acquiescent than I would have thought. And that is very alarming. But the other side of the coin is the financial incentives. We have to look at the fact that financially there are major special interests that stand to gain from discrediting the older cheap generic drug donated by pharmaceutical companies. But China holds a controlling stake in the Gilead. They bought a large share in Gilead Sciences that makes remdesivir. China has a role in the vaccine patents. Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation have huge stakes in the vaccine industry. And although they pretend to be big philanthropists, they also have huge business interest in the patents and the manufacturing and all of that. Rick Bright, who issued the restrictive emergency use authorization, he didn't make it widely available on the emergency use authorization from the FDA March 28th. And he countermanded the directives from the Secretary of Health and Human Services and the admiral in charge of the Public Health Service, and Dr. Cadillac with the were also working on all of this, who is in charge of ASPR. And so we've got all of his superiors were countermanded by his unilateral lower level decision to restrict hydroxychloroquine. But his background, he has worked for vaccine manufacturers. He's worked in the government agencies in his career on vaccines, and he was promoting remdesivir, an experimental antiviral drug that has very serious side effects, and was only brought back out to see if it might work in COVID-19, when it had not worked very well with Ebola. And so then China stands to gain. If China's economy was in the toilet last year, toward the second half of last year, they were really hurting under President Trump's strong stand to hold China accountable for the damage and theft of intellectual property and economic damage to our country. And lo and behold, they have this accident with this virus being released, and suddenly people are dying, and they see, what did China do in December and January? They sent their people out of the country on international flights all over the world, but they locked down their own country and prevented the spread in China so that the other big cities didn't have a problem, but every other city in the world with flights from China was hit hard. And
things are just starting to heat up with China. I mean, we haven't seen even the start of that yet. I'm starting to see not only a war of words, but things I can just see are starting to get really hot with our relationship here in the United States compared to China. And they're not backing down, Dr. Vliet. I mean, this is a real moment in time for history here that is going to be made.
They've made no bones about the fact that their goal is to dominate the world. And our weakness and our continued lockdown, and President Trump knows all of this, and his administration knows clearly the threat that China poses.
Oh, yeah.
That when you're asking who stands to gain.
Well, you brought up some interesting things there about who stands to gain by mentioning the financial part of it. That's important to remind people. You're exactly right. The drug folks, China, the players. My guess is these groups and these organizations are speaking about now, what they do is, I'm going to just say to you, they flame the fire. Because they flame the fire. They're not the sole cause or reason, because, again, back to the president saying this had possibilities of really, you know, doing something that it could be effective. And then when you look at that chart in your op-ed there, I mean, I got to tell you, Dr. Vliet, those numbers are, I mean, absolutely startling. I mean, for anybody. Now, how can anybody, I mean, like anybody on the left, or even this bright fellow who ain't too bright, obviously, how can he deny any of this? I mean, this is here. These are facts, and these are not modified in any way. These are real numbers, correct?
Well, they are, absolutely. They are reported by countries around the world, and they're compiled by experts that are looking at the data from every country.
They're
not my numbers. These are from the world authorities that are collecting the data, trying to make sense of what's working, what isn't, what can we do better, all of that. We ramped up an incredible response to this virus from the technological side, with the ramping up production of ventilators and personal protective equipment and hospital beds and all of that.
Yeah.
We did a phenomenal job. I've never seen anything like it in my medical career. The problem is that where we fell down compared to more third world countries, especially, and poorer countries, is that we had an FDA, one single person bureaucrat, countermanded his superiors and the President of the United States directives to make hydroxychloroquine widely available to patients and doctors across the country in pharmacies, doctor's offices, hospitals, nursing homes, all of it. When he made that restriction, and that was done knowingly because he admitted it, he said specifically, this is Rick Bright's quote.
Okay.
Specifically, and contrary to misguided directives, I limited the broad use of chloroquine and hydroxychloroquine. Those are not my words. He is bragging about the fact that he prevented all of us physicians across the country from serving the needs of our patients to the best of our judgment and ability. Fundamentally, that is what he did, and it is unconscionable.
Didn't he also say it lacks, they lack scientific merit, he said, clearly lack scientific merit?
Well, he's wrong, and he knows it, because he actually is the individual who early on was asking his own team to give serious consideration to chloroquine treatment and considered reports from abroad, as well as the 15-year-old studies from the NIH, and he sought to secure it. Then something happened, okay, and he flipped.
Something happened. Now, where does Rick Bright come from? Who is this man? He's a career bureaucrat, obviously, right?
Well, he has been in various agencies, CDC, NIH, FDA, for much of his career. He also worked for a stint with a vaccine manufacturer, then came back to the federal government. What's striking and very puzzling to me, he was appointed by President Obama on November 15th, 2016, to head BARDA.
Wow.
And BARDA is the agency, Biomedical Advanced Research and Development Authority. It's a sub-agency under the FDA.
Yeah.
Now, why would an outgoing president with a little over a month or so left in office after the election, November 15th, remember, the election was the first week of November, when he knew President Trump had won, President Obama appoints this man head of BARDA.
So this is just before Trump takes power, just before he becomes president officially, right? In January, yeah. You know,
I find that a very strange.
Well, it is more than strange, Dr. Vliet. It's more than strange, because this has been the problem of this administration. I've had a lot of military folks and others tell me the president should have cleared and cleaned house.
It's not feasible to suddenly, abruptly clear house of all federal bureaucrats, particularly in something like the FDA. You just can't fire everybody and start from ground zero. The agency's too large. It's thousands and thousands.
Well, but the damage has been done now. What's happened is a lot of these Rick Brights are all over the place. They're throughout all these administrations, all these agencies. And this has been the biggest problem of these. You heard me up front, Dr. Vliet, talk about, and I put my hands up in quotes, whistleblower. I mean, this is just a BS word is all that is. It's just
well, they're using that. They're using that as a political weapon.
No, it's garbage.
It's not the protective statute it was intended to be.
Yeah.
But Rick Bright, if you listened to his testimony and read his comments, there's an excellent document put out by Health and Human Services Secretary Azar that rebuts all of the falsehoods that were put forward. And it is clear that this man knew the positive data, because he made some positive.
I want to ask a couple things here now with Bright here. Since he's done that now and he has been removed from his post right after the fact, again, after they've done damage, I still have a problem with that. They've left too many of these people in powerful positions and they should have combed better through this. Again, I call it as I see it. I think that's really been a problem with the administration not doing their homework with these kinds of people. And they're all over the place. The place is littered with them. As you just said, you can't really clear. Well, no, you can't clear. Then what do? Then you have to do damage control in these cases. And then you get insult to injury. And eventually they do leave the post or they resign or get fired. So in this case here with Bright, who now is gone, what I'm really confused on is this. Why can't the administration undo what he did? Supposedly, by stopping this or doing what he did, when you say here, he single-handedly the misguided directives, you talk about that he limited the broad use. So he limited the broad use. Why can't we undo? What's the problem with that? Why hasn't that been done already? I don't understand.
Malcolm, Senator Johnson literally called me the first week in April after he heard my interview in Milwaukee. He and I have been working almost daily with his power and position in Washington to break through.
Right.
This political opposition is entrenched. It's very widespread. It's financial. It's partisan.
But doesn't the task force know, Dr. Lee? I still don't get, I hear what you said. You're trying to do this. I get that. But that's not what I'm asking.
It is what you're asking. We have been working on doing exactly that.
I know you have, but why don't they know already? Why doesn't the task force know? Why doesn't the president know? Why hasn't something happened already?
The president does know. I know for a fact that he's been given a letter from that I wrote that we had 1,300 physicians sign. I know what Senator Johnson has done. The president knows, the chief of staff knows, Peter Navarro knows.
In the op-ed you have here, which I encourage everybody to go read, please, and educate yourself. And, you know, and I hear you, Dr. Lee, where you say, well, we're working, and I know you're working around the clock on it, and I know Senator Johnson is, I know other people are doing it, I get that. But as to why it takes all of this just to be able to undo what this bright fellow did is mind-boggling to me, quite honestly. I can't rationalize why somebody just can't change this. If the president does indeed know and others know, I would think it would have already been happening, but it doesn't seem to be. And in the meantime, people are dying. And you look at the chart you have and the numbers you have, and it's criminal what's going on here. And I will use the word criminal. It's criminal what's taking place here. I mean, anybody logically can see this. Just stick your ideology in your back pocket, people, and open up your brain here and listen. And that's what we got to do, and we got to get through to these people. I'm a no-nonsense kind of guy. I have no patience for idiots, okay? And people who can't understand and read the English language, either get with it or don't. Fix the problem. But let's move on. We got other things to be doing here in this nation. You asked some very interesting questions at the end, as I've gotten hot and bothered now on this thing. And you say, instead of orchestrating a war on HCQ, the media, and I love the way you put this, Dr. Lee, the media should be asking key questions. Well, and as I already addressed up front, these people are the biggest nimwits on the planet. I mean, you talk about an agenda. I mean, these people are, they are, you know, evidence number one, 101 here for what's wrong with our, the situation in our nation here. The first question here, how does one person, by his own admission, block directives from his superiors to expand availability of HCQ for outpatients and nursing home patients in the U.S.? What's the answer to that, you think?
I think it was allowed to happen underneath the radar by a partisan career bureaucrat, political appointee by the previous administration. And we cannot ever allow one person without any oversight to have such unrestrained power that one person can affect 330 Amen. Million people's lives.
Amen to that, definitely. The next one here, what is the cost in lives and economic damage resulting from one person's decision to restrict physicians' independent medical decision-making? And of course, you don't have the real answer to that, but let's just say it's probably in another universe somewhere, is it?
Well, I think we see it in the data, in the chart, in the article.
That's it.
The United States has 278 deaths per million, and India had 2 per million. And India used hydroxychloroquine and azithromycin, vitamin C, and zinc early in the illness. We're using it late in critically ill patients. It's a medical model that doesn't work. It's like trying to put a lock on your door and alarm system in your home after the burglar has invaded your home, stolen everything, and torn up all your property.
Yeah,
it doesn't
work. No, in the list there, just to follow Dr. Lee saying, Australia is 4 deaths per million, South Korea, 5 deaths per million, you know, Turkey, 50 deaths per million. We're 278 deaths per million people, if you can believe that. I mean, it's wild, absolutely wild. How many nursing home deaths could have been prevented if physicians had been allowed early access to HCQ?
I don't think there's any question we would have seen dramatically fewer. One Texas doctor saved all but one of the patients in his nursing home by using hydroxychloroquine. When someone tested positive, he gave the hydroxychloroquine to all of the rest. 80 people survived and one died. In New York State, where it was restricted, as of last week alone, they had over 5,500 deaths. You do the numbers, you look at the comparisons. Florida does not have the nursing home deaths that New York did. Florida allowed early use of hydroxychloroquine and saved their patients.
You know, Dr. Vliet, you have really opened up eyes here. Listen, it's important for me to say to you, what incredible work you are doing on the front lines, number one. And number two, that you are such a patriot to be out there, Dr. Vliet, and really driving this information because you so passionately care. And I know you passionately care. I'm talking to you off mic or on mic. Your sincerity always shines through in every way, no matter who's listening or who's not listening. You're one of the most sincere, authentic people that passionately care about people. And I really applaud the work you're doing.
Thank you, Malcolm. I really feel God has me in medicine to help people, to save lives, to do the best to my ability to answer to what that patient needs. And it's a violation of God's gift of life when government interferes with our ability to do the job that we were trained to do and that we've taken an oath to do to benefit our patients. And I absolutely, to my core, believe that. It's why I resigned from all insurance contracts at the beginning of my career in 1986. I could not serve two masters. I serve God, and I serve his gift of life, and I serve the individual patients.
Yeah.
I do not answer to insurance companies or the government or any third parties.
Well, and I can tell that about you. And the reason for that is because you're a principally driven person. When somebody is principally driven, and you just, listeners, you know what I'm talking about. You know out there, Americans know. That's the thing I love about talk radio is you can read people a million miles away. You know when somebody's being authentic, and you know when somebody's trying to pull the wool over your eyes. I mean, you just know it out there. The only way we preserve the future of this humanity and certainly of this nation here is we have to take action on the big issues of the day that we are mired in this generation here, people. I mean, that's how it has to happen. That's how America, it's always happened here in our nation. It has always happened from patriots and good people who get on the front lines and fight for justice, isn't it? I mean, just look at the stats that the president will read the article here, an op-ed on America Out Loud. We should be able to fix this thing immediately and make Bright to think of the past. And, you know, quite frankly, and I don't want to give people like Bright all the oxygen in the room. This is what's happening in the media. They give the oxygen to all these criminals and all these bureaucrats and all these the messiness of society. I don't want to give the power to the messiness of society, people. That baloney. Let's give it back to where it belongs. That's the only way we can right the wrongs and get on with our life. There's so much to do, so much work to do in our nation. We're being bamboozled from all sides here. And we have to be alert. We have to be alert. We have to take it to the next level here. I continue to do that here with you. And I thank you, as always, for being with me here and being part of the mission. Thank you for Dr. Elizabeth Lee Vliet and all the work she's doing. God bless her and God bless you, friends. And now your marching orders are real simple. It's time to get involved and get loud.